Genesis chapter 28. Jacob left Beersheba and set out for Haran. When he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and lay down to sleep. He had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth, with its top reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. There above it stood the Lord, and he said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham, and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. All people on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. We now turn to John chapter 1, verse 35. The next day John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, look, the Lamb of God. When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, what do you want? They said, Rabbi, which means teacher, where are you staying? Come, he replied, and you will see. So they went and saw where he was staying, and they spent that day with him. It was about 4 in the afternoon. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, we have found the Messiah, that is, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, you are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas, which, when translated, is Peter. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, follow me. Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, we have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Nazareth, can anything good come from there? Nathanael asked. Come and see, said Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, here truly is an Israelite, in whom there is no deceit. How do you know me? Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you. Then Nathanael declared, Rabbi, you are the Son of God, you are the King of Israel. Jesus said, you believe, because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You will see greater things than that. He then added, very truly I tell you, you will see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man.
Well, please keep your Bibles open to that reading from John, because that's going to be our focus this evening, and we'll pray. Heavenly Father, please help us now. Give us ears to hear. Please enable us to get another glimpse of who Jesus is and what it means for us to know him and trust him and follow him. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, last time our family was down in Melbourne, we went out for lunch at our favourite Thai restaurant down there. The food was delicious, but there's another fun thing about this restaurant. See, when you go in, they show you to your table, and on the table there's a QR code that you scan, and that brings up the menu, and you select what you want, and then you press submit order, and you pay for it with your phone. And then about 10 minutes later, your meal gets delivered from the kitchen by a robot. So it sort of turns around and there's all your food on trays on the back and you take it off and then you press OK on the robot's head and it goes off back to the kitchen. It's a bit of a novelty to be served by a robot, but at the same time, I hope not every restaurant heads down that track because it is kind of impersonal. Think about it. In quite a short space of time, we Aussies have moved into the age of self-serve checkouts and online shopping and click and collect and app-only banking. And there's something about all of these things which is very efficient. But it's also a bit strange that we keep on choosing less and less human interaction, because most people I meet actually kind of long for more personal connection in life. Now, we just read John chapter 1, verse 35 to the end of the chapter, which is all about Jesus meeting his first five followers. Now, just let that sink in for a moment. When the Son of God took on human nature to purchase our salvation, he didn't purchase it by click and collect. Jesus didn't travel around doing his thing as some kind of lone ranger. Rather, the story we have of Jesus is the story of Jesus with his disciples. Like at the start of John's book, remember we were introduced to Jesus as the creator of the universe. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. And yet, the very first words of Jesus that he records here are so down to earth and so full of interest in humans. It's in verse 38. What's the first thing that Jesus says in John's gospel? What do you want? Well, we want to know where you're staying. Sure, come and see. It's an invitation to come over and hang out. See, when we think about the work of Jesus for us, the key moment is when Jesus died on the cross to pay for our sins. And it's so important for us to understand the transaction that happens because of the cross, how my guilt is exchanged for his righteousness. It's a transaction, but it's not an impersonal transaction. The gospel is not just simply about how to get from Jesus that thing that he wants to give us so that we can go back to our own lives. No, the purpose of the arrival and the death of Jesus was to establish a new and ongoing relationship with his people. And if you think about it, the relational focus of Jesus flows out of who God is, if God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three persons united for all eternity as a community of love, then it's in Jesus' very nature to bring about loving community everywhere he goes. And so, tonight, we look at how John tells us about Jesus forming relationships, attracting, inviting, and welcoming his first five followers. And I'd like us to just go through how Jesus met each one and how for each one, this is the beginning of a journey of growth and discovery. And of course, we want to think about this because the invitation that Jesus gives to these disciples is also an invitation to us. You'll see in verse 37, it begins with two disciples following Jesus. It's probably a good thing that no one man could claim to be the first follower. These guys had originally been disciples of John the Baptist, and John the Baptist has to kind of give them a bit of a nudge and say, hey, look, the Lamb of God. Go on, you guys should check him out. And so these disciples decide to follow him, as in literally walk behind him. And that might actually seem a bit creepy to us to just follow someone down the street to see where they live. But in their culture, that wasn't weird. You got to remember, they don't have phones, and so the normal thing to do is if you want to meet with someone, you turn up at their house. I remember when I was living in the Middle East, there was a time where I wanted to get to know one of the older guys in our neighbourhood. And me being an Aussie, I tried to arrange an appointment. I said, oh, look, can I come and visit you on Wednesday? And he said, yeah, of course. oh, okay, well, what time should I come? And he just looked at me like I'd asked a silly question. He said, anytime, just come. So one of these guys was named Andrew, and we'll come to him in a moment. The other one is not named. Although it seems pretty likely that the other one is the Apostle John who wrote this book. Because all through this book, any time that John is part of the story, he never mentions his own name. Sometimes he just calls himself the disciple Jesus loved. If it is John, then it explains this detail we've got in verse 39, where it says, so they went and saw where he was staying, and they spent that day with him. It was about 4 PM. He remembers the time from 4 PM till late, because those were the hours that changed John's life forever. That was the time when John began the most significant relationship he's ever had. Do you remember when you met Jesus? I mean, if you grew up in the church, you might have heard about him for as long as you can remember. But when did you meet him? When were you able to say, I know him, I trust him, he's part of my life? Okay, let's think about Andrew. Andrew is Simon Peter's brother. Hey, how would you feel if you were known mainly by who your brother is? But Andrew doesn't seem to mind. That's the kind of guy he is. Andrew appears only a few times in John's gospel, but every time Andrew appears, he's introducing someone to Jesus. So, John chapter 6, verse 8, Andrew's the one who says, oh, hey, Jesus, here's a boy with 5 loaves and 2 fish. Or John chapter 12, verse 22, it's Andrew who says, oh, hey, Jesus, there's some Greeks here to see you. Clearly, Andrew is excited about meeting Jesus. Remember, Andrew's been a student of John the Baptist, and John the Baptist's whole ministry has been get ready, the Messiah is coming. And Andrew realizes, wow, we've found him. And so the most natural thing to do when you have exciting news is that you want to tell the significant people in your life. Hey, if you ever get to the point where the idea of sharing your faith sounds like a heavy duty and you feel like, oh, I guess I'm supposed to do it. No, back up. It would be good for you to remember how you first met Jesus. Remember how he was and he still is the answer to all your hopes and dreams. And so it's natural to want to share that with the people who are important to you. So Andrew's brother Simon meets Jesus, and Jesus gives him a nickname. His nickname is The Rock, because we've got Kephas, which is the Aramaic word for rock, and then Peter, which is the Greek word for rock. That's an interesting nickname, because Peter's going to turn up quite a few times in our story, and mostly he's going to turn up doing stupid things. Peter's the one who refuses to let Jesus wash his feet. Peter's the one who cuts off somebody's ear. Peter's, of course, the one who denies knowing Jesus. And there's a point in this story where you think, maybe if you're going to pick a nickname, maybe Jelly would be more appropriate than Rock. But in the end, Peter will become the Rock. Peter will preach the resurrection even when he's threatened not to. He will become a leader in the church, and in the end, he did stand firm for his faith, even though that meant death. See, every person has potential And every person has flaws. And sometimes when we look at each other, all we can see are each other's flaws. But Jesus knows what we will be, and he calls us on towards what we will be. The next one is Philip. And you'll notice that unlike the others, Jesus approaches him. And I think that's because Philip is a cautious kind of guy. See, whenever Philip turns up in this story, he's not exactly taking risks. John chapter 6, verse 7. Jesus asks him, "Hey, Philip, how are we going to feed this crowd of 5,000 people?" And Philip says, "Wow, we really can't afford it, can we?" Or John chapter 12, verse 21, when those Greeks came to see Jesus, they actually asked Philip first. And Philip said, "Oh, I don't know if you can see Jesus. I'd better check with Andrew." It seems that Philip just likes to play it safe. He's not really one to step out and introduce himself to Jesus, and certainly not to decide to follow Jesus to Galilee without an invitation. Hey, are you a cautious one? I know in churches we can easily give attention to the extroverts and the bold thinkers. But this is a good reminder that Jesus takes notice of the quiet ones too. And Philip, even though he's cautious, he turns out to be an effective inviter as well, because he invites Nathanael. Verse 45, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And you notice that the "we," same with what Andrew said earlier on, it's not just "I've found Jesus," we've found him. We are a community who are getting to know Jesus together and inviting others in to know the Jesus that we've found. Nathanael is surprised about the Nazareth bit. I mean, Nazareth is the village where Jesus grew up. It's like 15 kilometres down the road from Nathanael's place. And he says, "Nazareth? Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Nathanael's pretty blunt, but at least he's honest. I don't know, what's the worst suburb in Sydney? I actually asked ChatGPT that question, what's the worst suburb in Sydney? And ChatGPT said, "Labelling a suburb as the worst can be unfair and subjective." But then it went on to list five possible places. Anyway, Philip just says, "Come and see." It's interesting, like, you know, Nathanael's like not sure about this Nazareth thing. Philip says, just come and have a look. So sometimes we might worry that if we talk to our friends about Jesus, that they might have these questions that we won't know the answer to, that like we won't be able to explain what we believe about the Trinity, or we won't be able to explain to them that Christianity really is compatible with science, or we might not be able to explain that, no, our views about sexuality really do lead to human flourishing. Sometimes it's the best thing to do is just keep it simple and say, "Come and see for yourself. You want to know about Jesus? I'll get you a Bible. You can go straight to the source and read it. You want to know what church is about? Just come on and have a look. It's free. You don't need to make a booking." Anyway, when Nathanael arrives, Jesus knows him before Nathanael says a word. "Here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." You know, here's someone who just says it like it is. "How do you know me?" "I saw you under the fig tree." Now, I have no idea what Nathanael was doing or thinking under the fig tree. Whatever happened under the fig tree seems to be a secret known only to Nathanael and God. And yet Jesus knows. See, the point here is that Jesus knows us before we know him. He knows all the secrets of our hearts. And so at this point, Nathanael's convinced. He is in. Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. Nathanael has begun to know who Jesus is, but there's still a journey ahead of him to really understand what Son of God and King of Israel means. And that's what Jesus is getting at in verse 50. Nathanael, you're impressed that I know you? You ain't seen nothing yet. Wait till you really get to know me. Verse 51, very truly, I tell you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. What does that mean? Well, I think it goes back to our first Bible reading from Genesis chapter 28. So, first Bible reading. We read the story of Jacob, the original Israelite. I don't know if you remember Jacob's story. Where we read from, Jacob has just lied and cheated his brother out of the family inheritance. And his brother got so angry that his brother wants to kill him, and so Jacob has to run away. He gets out of the camp until he's all alone, and he falls asleep, and he has this dream. And in the dream, he sees a stairway to heaven. And God is standing at the top, and God's angels are going up and down the stairway. And Jacob, who thought he was all alone, realizes, oh no, wait, God is there, he's here with me, and God is sending his angels to protect me. And for Jacob, this knowledge that God is there and God cares for me will eventually transform him from being a liar and a cheat into the faithful father of a nation. So what's Jesus' point? Well, Jesus paints the same picture. Heaven open, angels going up and down, but in place of the staircase, there's the Son of Man, Jesus himself. See, when Nathanael realizes, oh, Jesus, I think you're the Messiah, he partially understands what that means. Just like everybody else, he's probably thinking of the Messiah as a political leader, but over time, he's going to come and to see that Jesus is much more than he first realized. He will come to see that Jesus is the one who connects us with God. It's through Jesus that God really is present and active in our lives, even when we're not aware of his presence. See, there's a difference between how we form relationships with each other and how we form a relationship with God through Jesus. Because when two of us meet, neither knows the other. Bit by bit, I get to know you, you get to know me. And realistically, the way relationships work is I'm not going to share everything about myself right away. It takes time to get to know who's safe to share with, who isn't safe to share with. I'm sure we've all had experiences where we opened up and then later we said to ourselves, oh, I wish I hadn't said that. But when it comes to Jesus, he knows us fully from the beginning. He doesn't have to learn who we are. He knew us from before the foundation of the world, but instead of knowing us and rejecting us because of the dark things in our hearts, he knew us and loved us. And driven by that love, he went ahead and died for us to deal with all the darkness that's in our hearts and to bring us into an eternal relationship with him. What's Jesus doing today? He's revealing himself to those he specially loves. He knows us, but he's enabling us to know him. And one by one, Jesus' people are being introduced to him. There's no point hiding anything from Jesus, is there? There's no point pretending to be someone that you're not. He knows you fully. He knows who you are, and he knows what you one day will be. Through his Spirit, he's making himself known to you. And through knowing him, he's changing you into what you shall one day be. Friends, it's a great thing that we're not invited to click and collect from God. We're called to become his close personal contacts. We're called into an ongoing relationship where we trust him and we keep learning who he is. From our side, we get to know him more and more as we follow him. That's what the disciples do here. They follow him. Jesus, you're going to Galilee, we'll follow you. Following Jesus means we keep trusting him through life, through the joys, through the disappointments, through our successes, through our failures, through the sunny days, through the dark, stormy days. Keep trusting him all the time. We're continuing to listen to his word. We're continuing to respond in prayer. And so, will you make your great desire, your great goal in life, to seek to know him fully, just as you are fully known by him? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this wonderful Saviour that you've given us, who knows us and who deals with each of us in just the right way. Father, give us hearts to trust him. Give us a deeper knowledge of Jesus. Enable us to delight in what we've found in Jesus and to share that delight with others. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.